What adds to the peril of this capitalized press, which is, of course, not confined to any country, is the deplorable fact that millions of the people of all lands find in their newspapers their only mental food and form their opinions on practically all subjects by reading insincerely written editorials. Some even have time only for the headlines. End of quote. But then, do not newspapers controlled by Catholics react against all this and give their readers the full truth about the world? Alas, some small ones here and there in different countries do so, but very many do not. The reasons for this are numerous. One, however, is manifest. Most Catholics have been influenced by history, as it has been written and taught for the last 300 years, and experienced great difficulty in getting a clear grasp of the real struggle in the world around the mystical body of Christ. The Lutheran separation between the Christian and the citizen has got such a grip on their minds that they find it hard to realize that our Lord meant what he said when he uttered the words, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself." If we take a socialist or communist paper, we are astonished at the contrast between it and a journal controlled by Catholics, professedly convinced of the truth of the Catholic Church. From the first line to the last, the communist paper aims at forming a convinced partisan, and it is written with vigor and seemingly profound conviction. Every incident is utilized by it for the propagation of its doctrine of falsehood and misery. The paper controlled by Catholics, on the other hand, only too often shares in that cold and indifferent outlook on religious matters with which the pupils of Catholic schools are approached. They, the pupils of Catholic schools, have been brought up in a Catholic atmosphere. They have breathed it naturally, but they do not feel the healthy, life-giving purity of it. They are fed up with religion as they are with Latin and Greek. The joy of possessing a treasure and the ambition to increase it seem to be dead within them. All these young Catholics seem to be unaware of the fact that they hold in their hands the torch which is meant to illumine the world. They carry it lifelessly and without interest, just as they would a candle in a procession. Our Catholic paper does the same. Its attitude towards religion is the stereotype one of discharging a duty that has to be performed. Another reason why newspapers, edited and directed by Catholics, do not react against the insincerity of the press is that they, too, are more or less at the mercy of financial forces. How, for example, can a manager refuse well-paid advertisements, even though no attention is paid therein to the instructions of the sovereign pontiff on feminine modesty in dress? If he does so, the receipts suffer and the paper's existence is endangered. Again, how can editors point out the directions of Masonic movements when they are not prepared to face the hostility of the sect? For these and such like reasons, readers are left unenlightened and bewildered. In this work, an attempt has been made to give a synthetic view of the real conflict going on in the world for and against the mystical body of Christ. I have tried to get a clear view of the conflict and keep all the various factors thereof in their proper perspective, by striving to represent to myself how things will appear when he shall come to judge the world. Then the full horror of opposition to the supernatural life of grace and the folly of all those who have gone over to the camp of Satan, the first naturalist and rationalist, will stand clearly revealed. The same forces that resisted and persecuted our Lord Jesus Christ during his life on earth resist and persecute him down the ages in his mystical body. According to the opinion of St. John Damascene, St. Augustine, and other fathers of the Church, Lucifer, the highest of the angels who sinned, was set over the order of the world. St. Thomas does not deny the probability of this view. We may therefore speak of Satan as prince of this world by a special title. If he had not sinned, he would have governed this world in the joy and harmony of supernatural love. But seduced by the plenitude of his natural gifts, he became the first of those who have preferred the finite to the infinite.